At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am Spencer, and this is episode F240. Please go rate a review. Rate this show and write a review on the Apple Podcasts and maybe some other places if you can find them. Give me those good old 5 stars. I'm a star eater and I need some nutrition. I need those good old hydrogen atoms turning into helium atoms. Anyway, what else can you do? You can join the Patreon for $1 a month. Very, 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 very cheap. Nothing is that cheap anymore. That will get you very early episodes of this show and maybe some other fun things every once in a while. You can obviously check out this podcast and all of the big audio places, but you can also watch this on YouTube and see me do funny things like this. What else you can do? You can buy some merch. There is a merch link in the show notes. You can follow this show on social media at DictionaryPod, and I am at SpeedJampar. And I think those are some pretty good things to say. And share. Just share. Share love, share happiness, and share this podcast. All right, the first word in this episode is full-time. 2 words with a hyphen, adjective from 1898. Number one, employed for or involving full-time, as in full-time employees and also full-time work. This podcast is not my full-time job. This is a whole extra part-time job outside of my full-time job. I do this, and then I do my full-time job, and then maybe I do a little bit more of this after work or other things. Yes, I am a full-time employee. I work all of those hours. Luckily, I do not have the type of job that regularly makes me work much more than full-time. Every once in a while, it's rare, but there are people who have jobs that are working 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. That is not a job for me. Nope. Number two, devoting one's full attention and energies to something, as in a full-time gambler. Oh, yes, when you put the time in, then maybe you will reap the rewards. But you might also, when you are a full-time gambler, you might also get real far into debt, which is why you need to be a full-time gambler to repay the debts, or maybe just get a real job. But, you know, if you're good, depending on the game, you could make a very good living at being a full-time gambler. You're putting all your energies and your full attention into gambles. Full-time is also an adverb. We're doing it full-time. We're gambling full-time. We're working full-time. All right. Ooh, it is sound effect time. Is full-time of sound effect time? Let's go. Roar! The next word is full-time again. This one is 2 words, no hyphen. Noun from the same year, 1898. Wow, same year. Good effort, people. This is the amount of time considered the normal or standard amount for working during a given period. So the first one was adjective, full-time with a hyphen. That was adjective. You are a full-time employee being described as full-time. And then the noun, it is just the amount of time that's like the normal full amount of time for a thing in a certain amount of time, a certain period. So, you know, full-time work, it's about 40 hours given typically a 5-day period, Monday through Friday. That's typically when you're doing your full-time job. Roar! Now we have full-timer. Two words with a hyphen, noun from 1868. Now, it's interesting. We haven't read the definition yet, but it's interesting that this one is 30 years before full-time and full-time. A full-timer is a person who works full-time. So they're a full-timer. I'm a full-timer. Maybe a lot of you are full-timers at your jobs and maybe gambling.
Roar.
Fully. Adverb from before the 12th century. Those mammoths, they were completely mammoths, so they were fully mammoths. Fully woolly mammoths. Number one for fully is in a full manner or degree, as in the synonym completely, totally, completely, fully. I am right now currently being, I am fully podcasting, being a, I'm podcasting fully. That's my focus right now. Let's just do this. No, let's not work. Let's podcast. Hey, everybody, let's go podcasting. Number two, it means at least. The example is fully 9/10 of us. I don't think I've heard this used in this way. Fully 9/10 of us means at least 9/10 of us. 9/10 of my body. No, I think we're talking about 9/10 of a group of people. So maybe there's 10 people. At least fully 9/10 of them have full-time jobs. They're full-timers. And then that one person, they're an artist. And they don't have to have a full-time job. They're not a full-timer. But what they are full, they're a full-time artist. They're full-timing their art. They're doing art fully. But we're talking about fully as an adverb. Fully 9/10 of us. At least, that's all it is. It does say for the usage of this word to go all the way to the word plenty. Plenty. Oh, it's enough. So plenty, fully. Maybe there's some interesting way that people are using these words. So you can wait for me to talk about plenty. It's going to be fully 10 years until I get there, which means at least 10 years.
Roar!
Now we have Fulmer or Fulmar, spelled F-U-L-M-A-R, noun from 1698. This is a seabird of colder northern seas closely related to the petrels. And also, this is a related bird of circumpolar distribution in colder southern seas. So we got the first one. The first seabird, the species name is Fulmaris glacialis or glacialis. So, you know, I don't know what the Fulmaris means, but glacialis, it's probably related to glaciers and the cold because they are of the colder northern seas, those seas up in the north by the pole where it's cold and the glaciers, you might find this Fulmar bird. Closely related to petrels. And then, of course, the other bird, which is down south, down by the southern pole, closer to that. Their species name would be Fulmaris glacialoides. They had to change up that second word, so it was different from the first one, the northern bird. The southern bird is Fulmaris glacialoides, which is an incredibly fun word to say. All right, so we gotta look at the etymology here. This is of Scandinavian origin, which makes sense because I think those Scandinavian areas are pretty far north. Akin to the Old Norse fulmar, which means fulmar, which is from ful, which means fowl. But I have to call out, this is fowl, not the bird fowl, F-O-W-L. This is fowl, F-O-U-L, which makes me think that these are some foul, stinky birds. But it is also plus mar, which means gull. So it is a foul gull. A stinky gull? A dirty gull? Why are they called foul gulls? There's more at the word mew, M-E-W. So let's look up. Let's just look up what this bird looks like. It looks like a seagull. The body is mostly white. The wings are, they have a lot of gray. They're basically gray wings. I don't know why they are called foul gulls. Gulls make sense. The foul part, I don't know. Are their wings foul? Because they're gray? I don't think so. All right. So that was the fulmar, or the fulmar, depending on how you want to say that. And it's a new bird for me. Roar. Next is fulminant. Fulminant. Adjective from 1602. This is coming on suddenly and with great severity, as in the example, fulminant disease. A handful of the rest of the words are going to be similar to this one, I think. I have never heard of this. A disease that comes on very quickly and very severely, and that is not a disease that you want to get. I don't think there's any diseases that you really want to get, but a fulminant disease would be pretty rough. I believe that weather, you could probably describe weather as fulminant. Oh my God, all of a sudden there's a tornado. Where did that come from? We had no idea it was coming. It was sudden and severe, so it's fulminant. There is no etymology for this entry, because it's probably in another entry, so let's move on so we can learn why are we using the word fulminant for something sudden and severe, like this podcast. Roar! Now we have fulminate. This is the verb, first form, by the way. It is from the 15th century. We are starting with transitive. To utter or send out with denunciation. The example is fulminate a decree. So, okay, you're uttering, you're sending it out. That makes sense with decree. You are decreeing a thing, so you have to tell people about the decree that you are making. But the thing that I am confused about is with denunciation. So you are denouncing the decree, or the decree that you are making is denouncing something else. You're saying, you know that thing that we said before? Nope, we denounce it. Or that thing that other people said? Nope, we denounce that. We say, nope, we don't like that. We disagree with that one. So we are sending out a decree. We are fulminating a decree to tell people that we don't agree with that other thing. All right, well, intransitive is to send forth censures or invectives. So, yeah, similar idea, sending a thing out there, censures, saying, nope, that's censored, nope, don't like that, you gotta cancel that. So that's the idea that I'm getting from this fulminate verb, is that you're putting information out there that is negating something else. So I'm very curious about the etymology. Fulmination is a noun. So, is this related to something sudden and severe? I don't know. Let's look. This is from the Middle Latin verb fulminare, which means to strike. And what is striking? Possibly lightning, it says. To strike of lightning. From fulmen, which means lightning. And I do kind of remember something, I don't remember when that was, maybe a few episodes ago. Yeah, there was something about lightning. What else? Akin to the Latin flagrare, which means to burn, and there is more at the word black. So, well, let's just say lightning is something that comes on suddenly and very severely. So I think all of lightning would be fulminant. But fulminate, I am still a little confused on this uttering with denouncing and all those sorts of things. So, I don't know. Let's keep on reading to see if we can get some more info on this word, this very confusing word.
Rawr.
Now we have the second form of fulminate, which is a noun from 1826. This is an often explosive salt. Wah! Don't want that in my cabinet. And it is containing an often explosive salt containing the group. So the group is, these are the chemical symbols, the molecules. There is a dash, which I don't remember what that means in this scenario. And then we have the letters CNO, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen. So there's just one each of those, but with a negative symbol or some dash. I can't remember what it means. And an example of this explosive, often explosive salt would be mercury fulminate. All right. Now, I assume, so let's look at the etymology. It's from fulminic acid, which is not here in the book. Fulminic acid, which is from the Latin fulmen, which we learned in the previous word was lightning. So they were like, oh my gosh, that salt exploded like lightning. What happened? It was sudden and severe. When my salt exploded, my pasta is now all over the walls and the ceiling. Not the kind of salt that you want to probably put on your food. What makes it explode? What is happening here with this salt? Fulminate. Fascinating stuff. Thank you, science, for teaching us about things like exploding salt. Next we have fulminating. Adjective from 1626. Number one, hurling denunciations or menaces. So, it's an adjective. So you are what? Hurling denunciations or menaces. We are just throwing the denunciations out into the world, or we are also hurling menaces. Here's Dennis the Menace. Let's throw him out the window because he is a menace. Okay, I need more information here. Ugh. Number two, the synonym is explosive. Oh, yes. Okay, we got salts. Salt, this salt that is explosive. We got lightning that's basically explosive. Wow. Okay. Fulminating. So fulminating salt would be explosive salt. Fulminating what else? Fulminating TNT, C4, those would be explosive for sure. Are they hurling denunciations or menaces? Number three, the synonym is fulminant, which was the first one with the example of the fulminant disease. So fulminant and fulminating are adjectives that essentially mean the same thing. You can use them in a few different ways, I guess. Whew, that's a good one to remember when you're talking about something explosive. That's the easiest way that I could possibly remember this. Oh, wow, that thing is explosive. Ooh, what's something maybe not physically explosive, but maybe more metaphorically explosive. When the family got together and they didn't agree on their politics. Oh, that situation was, that was a fulminating dinner when the emotions were explosive. All right, moving on to fulmine. No, it says you're supposed to pronounce it fulmin, and it is spelled fulmine. This is a verb from 1623. It is archaic, and the synonym is fulminate. That would have been the first form of fulminate, which is uttering or sending out with denunciations or also sending forth censures or invectives. So that's fulmin. And now, we shall get to our very last word, which is a biggie, because there's some usage information in addition to a number of definitions. So, let's read all about this last word. It's fulsome. F-U-L-S-O-M-E. It's kind of funny. I don't think this is related to the word at all. But the word is made up of full, which is like all of it, completely, totally. And also the word some. Oh, just some of it. Not all of it. Some of it. Fulsome. It's kind of confusing that way, but I don't think that's related. So let's read. Let's read some stuff to learn all about fulsome. Folsom Prison? Is that spelled the same way? That's the Johnny Cash song? So, I think so. This is an adjective from the 13th century. Number 1A. It is characterized by abundance. And the synonym is the word copious. Oh, there are so many things. When you have a plethora of piñatas, you have fulsome piñatas. The example is, describes in fulsome detail. That is a quote from G.N. Schuster. So somebody was describing something with so much detail, you were like, all right, I get the picture. That's plenty of detail for me. I understand the situation. Thank you for all of that fulsome detail. Another example, here we go. It is fulsome bird life. The feeder overcrowded. All right, this is, I feel like we're just getting pieces of sentences here. So, because the first part says fulsome bird life, period. Then the second part says the feeder overcrowded. It doesn't have a period after that. I don't understand. So that is a quote from Maxine Cumin, something like that with a K. And so there was copious amounts of bird species, maybe not even bird species, just birds. Tons and tons of birds, because the feeder was overcrowded. The birds can't get their food. Maybe you should put out more bird feeders if your bird feeder has fulsome bird life. Maybe give those birds more food. They should also learn how to find their own food. You know, so a little bit of bird food. Maybe it's fine. Maybe it's like, you know what? I'm just supplementing your natural food. But you should go out and learn. Make sure you keep your wild bird tendencies alive. All right, now we have 1B. Generous in amount, extent, or spirit. As in, the passengers were fulsome in praise of the plane's crew. That is a quote from Don Oliver. So they were very generous in praising the plane's crew. We don't do this enough. I don't think we are grateful enough, thankful enough, verbally, outwardly, to the people who are flying the plane and also taking care of us when we're up there in the air, in a chair, in the sky. They're serving us. They're bringing us foods and drinks and headphones. Come on. So we should have more fulsome praise for our plane's crew. Generous in amount, extent, or spirit. There's another example, a fulsome victory for the far left. And that is a quote from Bruce Rothwell. A fulsome victory. The victory had a lot of victory, filled with victory. Another example, the greetings have been fulsome. The farewells tender. That's a quote from Simon Gray. The greetings have been fulsome. We lots of greetings. Everybody's saying, hi, hello, how are you? Let's hug. Let's do a little dance. Hello, everybody. Good to meet you. Shake hands, fist bumps, all that stuff. Full of greetings. Okay, now we are moving on to 1C. It is being full and well-developed. Being full and well-developed. Okay, we have an example. It is, she was in generally fulsome, limpid voice. That's a quote from Thor Eckert Jr. She was in generally fulsome, limpid voice. Her voice was, well, I don't know, limpid. It seems like it's the opposite of fulsome. Seems like it would be more weak, but I'm guessing, based on the word fulsome, which in this context is full and well-developed. Full, she has a very full and well-developed, limpid voice. Number two, we finally got to two. This is aesthetically, morally, or generally offensive. Whoa. As in, fulsome lies and nauseous flattery. Fulsome lies and nauseous flattery. That's a quote from William Congreve. So, aesthetically, morally, or generally offensive. Yes, those lies would be fulsome. Lies are very offensive sometimes. And nauseous flattery. Wow, people, there are people who are very good with words, and I am not one of them. Nauseous flattery and fulsome lies. Ugh, okay. We have another quote. Yes, it is a quote. The devil take thee for a fulsome rogue. There's an ellipsis in the middle there. So part of this sentence, part of this quote was taken out for simplicity's sake. The devil take thee for a fulsome rogue, an offensive rogue, morally offensive, aesthetically offensive, just generally offensive. That is a quote, by the way, from George, how do you say this last name? Villiers? I don't know. It seems maybe French. Georges Villiers, the devil take thee for a fulsome rogue. All right, now, number three, exceeding the bounds of good taste. The synonym is overdone. The example is the fulsome chromium glitter of the escalators dominating the central hall. And that is a quote from Lewis Mumford. Now, this makes me think of a convention, maybe a comic convention, currently, or maybe do they just finished, must have just finished, the San Diego Comic-Con, which is always a very big deal. And I imagine in that building, there are a lot of escalators, the chromium glitter of the escalators. What? The fulsome chromium glitter of the escalators, because it goes past good taste. Normal escalators, maybe they're just fine. They're good taste, but maybe they threw some glitter on the escalators, and I would not like to ride that escalator at all. It's too much, too bright, too metal. It's just popping in my face, popping in whose face? Lewis Mumford. They didn't like the all of that stuff. It's because it was not good taste anymore. Overdone. Over too many escalators. All right, now we got number four. Excessively complimentary or flattering. The synonym is effusive. The quote, the example is, an admiration whose extent I did not express, lest I be thought fulsome. That's a quote from A.J. Liebling. So it's excessively complimentary or flattering. It's too flattering, too complimentary. Thank you. You know what? I've been getting fulsome praise for this podcast. Can you guys please tone it down? Nope, that's a lie. So an admiration whose extent I did not express, lest I be thought fulsome. They'd think that I was complimenting them too much. Fulsomely is an adverb, and fulsomeness is a noun, and the etymology for this word says it is from the Middle English fulsome, which means copious or cloying. It is from full plus some, S-O-M, no E, which just means some, but it's a suffix. It's the suffix some, so, you know, there's some of it. But it's funny because when I think of copious, I do think of full. There's tons of it, lots of it. But then some, it's not some, it's something else. It's something else. All right, but now here we go. We got to get into the usage information, which is always fascinating. The senses shown above are the chief living senses of fulsome. They're living. They're not dead. This is how we're currently using it. Sense 2, let me just remind you, this is the one aesthetically, morally, or generally offensive. Sense 2, which was a generalized term of disparagement in the late 17th century, is the least common of these. Fulsome became a point of dispute when Sense 1, thought to be obsolete in the 19th century, began to be revived in the 20th. And that Sense 1 is about abundance and just a lot of it, a lot of stuff. The dispute was exacerbated by the fact that the large dictionaries of the first half of the century, I have one of those behind this monkey puppet here, this one is from the 40s, I have a video and an episode about that. The dispute was exacerbated by the fact that the large dictionaries of the first half of the century missed the beginnings of the revival. They were not on top of their shit. Sense 1 has not only been revived, but has spread in its application and continues to do so. The chief danger for the user of fulsome is ambiguity. Unless the context is made very clear, the reader or hearer cannot be sure whether such an expression as fulsome praise is meant in sense 1b or in sense 4. So let's remind ourselves about 1b and 4. 1b was generous in amount, extent, or spirit. So fulsome praise in that context would be a whole lot of praise. But in sense 4, which was excessively complimentary or flattering, then it's too much praise. Fulsome praise in sense 4 is, oh, you're praising me too much. Please stop it. Please take your praise elsewhere. Context is very important because we got a few different ways this word can be used. Number 3 and number 4 seem similar. It's like number 3 is taking number 1, which is about a whole bunch of a thing. Number 3 is exceeding the bounds of good taste. Oh, there's a whole bunch of a thing, but it went too far, right? And number 4 is, oh, there's some praise, maybe we took it too far. Yes, okay. And then number 2 is a whole other thing. It's just offensive. That's what it is. All right. That was a whole lot of stuff. And now I got to pick a word of the episode. Today we had full-time, full-time, full-timer, fully, fulmar, fulminant, fulminate, fulminate, fulminating, fulmin, and fulsome. Well, you know what? To be honest, I think I'm just going to pick this last one, fulsome, as the word of the episode, because there's some interesting stuff going on with this word. You can give me fulsome praise. You can give me fulsome praise. You can give me a lot of praise. And sometimes it can go a little bit too far. Fulsome praise is what you can give me. Yeah. That is going to be the end of this episode because I do not have another movie to tell you about. I don't think so. I don't think we didn't see a movie yesterday. And did we see a movie the other day? I can't remember now. I should probably think more on that. If I think of it, I'll tell you in the next episode. All right. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Please, again, share. Let other people know about it. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, audio only, or with video, keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really opened up the possibilities of who I could have on as a guest. I've recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere, from just a handful of miles away from me in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. The video and audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. and getting the files couldn't be easier. I love that Zencastr records the audio and video to each person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered because of internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and processes the files so you can directly download them. The files are even accessible even if something goes wrong. And so, of course, this next part, I will read verbatim from Zencastr because, of course, I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences like I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.